translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. He is called undisturbed who goes to an unknown, remote place and, freed from all obligations, quits his material body when it has become useless. Please repeat. He is called undisturbed.
He is called undisturbed.
Who goes to an unknown remote place.
Who goes to an unknown remote place.
And freed from all obligations.
And freed from all obligations.
Quits his material body. When it has become useless.
When it has become useless.
So anybody who just came in, go to Chandra Prabhu is giving class this morning. Go to Chandra Prabhu if anybody doesn't know. He used to give classes on a regular basis, but he's bereft us of his association for many months. He is the secretary for the BBT. And we're very honored to have him. So go to Chandra Prabhu. What we're going to do right now is we're all going to mute on anybody on Skype and on free conferencing. There's also another group of devotees. I'm going to mute them. So if you can just give me 1 second to change over here, and then you can go ahead and begin.
Okay, thank you.
So just give me like the count of two, and I'll be all set.
Hare Krishna. So the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Narottama Das Thakur, a great devotee and acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava sect, has sung, "My Lord, I have simply wasted my life, having obtained the human body. I have neglected to worship your lordship, and therefore I have willingly drunk poison." In other words, the human body is especially meant for cultivating knowledge of devotional service to the Lord, without which life becomes full of anxieties and miserable conditions. Therefore, one who has spoiled his life without such cultural activities is advised to leave home without knowledge of friends and relatives, and being thus freed from all obligations of family, society, country, etc., give up the body at some unknown destination so that others may not know where and how he has met his death. Dira means one who is not disturbed, even when there is sufficient provocation. One cannot give up a comfortable family life due to his affectionate relationship with wife and children. Self-realization is obstructed by such undue affection for family. And if anyone is at all able to forget such a relation, he is called undisturbed or dira. This is, however, the path of renunciation based on a frustrated life. But stabilization of such renunciation is possible only by association with bona fide saints and self-realized souls, by which one can be engaged in the loving devotional service of the Lord. Sincere surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is possible by awakening the transcendental sense of service. This is made possible by association with pure devotees of the Lord. Dhritarashtra was lucky enough to have a brother whose very association was a source of liberation for his frustrated life. Om Gyanatmanandascha Jananjana Slakaya Chakshus Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayamupakata Mayam Dadanti Swabhadantikam. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakopa tubhyascha kripasindubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So the verse again, gatva svartam imam deham virakto mukta bandana avigyata gatir yayat savaidira udaritaha. He is called undisturbed who goes to an unknown remote place and, freed from all obligations, quits his material body when it has become useless. So here we have the great fortune of Dhritarashtra by being in association of a great saintly person, and that is Vidura. So we'll talk a little bit about Vidura, the great saint. And Prabhupada mentions cultural activities in the purport, and he talks about comfortable life and renunciation. So we'll touch upon those 3 points: saints, renunciation of comfort, and cultural activities. So as far as Vidura, he's a pretty amazing personality. He was born a Sudra, we know, because he was the son of the king, but his mother was not the queen. So therefore, he was considered to be a Sudra, and he didn't have any right to the kingdom. But even though he was a Sudra, he was a very qualified personality. He was actually the purest type of Brahmana. And as we know, he was Yamaraj. He was he's not an ordinary personality. He's actually one of the great Mahajans. Prabhupada describes how, you know, he was one of the GBC. Just like he said, we have our 12 GBCs. Similarly, Krishna has got his GBC. So, you know, there's the, how does it go? Swayambhu, Narada, Sambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Palado, Janako, Bhishmo, Balir, Vyasakir, Vayam. So these 12 men are authorized to preach Krishna consciousness. But Yamaraj, he was very busy in his magisterial work, and he was like a magistrate. He was simply punishing people. And because there is more sinful people and unpious people in the world, so he's had a very heavy job. He's always busy. He didn't have a chance to preach. So there was an arrangement made by Krishna, and supposedly he just made a simple mistake. He was cursed by Manduka Muni to come down to his material world as a Sudra. Because, I don't know if you know the story, I'm sure all of you know the story of Manduka Muni. He was a great saintly person, and some thieves were hanging out at his, hiding in his ashram. And the constables, they caught the thieves, and they caught also Manduka Muni, thought he was part of the crime. So they were going to punish him by giving him a lance. I don't know if anybody, Prabhupada talks about this in one of his lectures, how there's a special type of punishment where they have this spear or lance that's stuck out of the ground, and then you're supposed to like sit on it, or they drop you on it somehow, and the spear goes through your rectum and it comes all the way out through your head, and that's how you're killed. So this is how his fate was going to be. But the king found out, and he said, "What are you doing? This is a saintly person. You shouldn't punish him." So Manduka Muni was sorry this happened to him, and he went to Yamaraj and said, "What did you do this for?" And Yamaraj said, "Well, when you were a child, you pierced an ant with a thorn through the rectum. So therefore, you had to suffer like this." So he said, "What are you talking about? I was a child. I didn't even know any better. You know, I didn't know from right from wrong. Therefore, you're not qualified to be a Brahmana or Kshatriya. You should be born as a Sudra." So he had to take birth as a Sudra for 100 years on this planet. But actually, it was a blessing. It was Krishna's arrangement so that he could preach, because he's one of the Mahajans. So this pastime was taking place. So now he's here, and he gets to preach so strongly. You know, even though he was a Sudra, it doesn't matter whether one is born a Sudra or whether he's a Kshatriya or is a householder. Whatever he is, Lord Chaitanya's movement is that whatever position you're in, simply if you understand the science of Krishna, then you are a spiritual master. You are bona fide to preach. So in this way, Vidura was trained up by Maitreya. When the battle of Kurukshetra was going on, he was traveling to all the holy places, and he was, hearing and inquiring for Maitreya. And then he heard sufficiently, and then he came back. Actually, Vidura left home for good. You know, it's not that he came back to live with his family members and enjoy the opulences. In fact, when he came back, they treated him like a demigod. They treated him like he was in a heavenly planet. And that's proper. Prabhupada said, whenever I travel, I go here and there, people treat me very nicely and it's very comfortable. So this is a proper way to treat a great personality. So this is how they treated Vidura, very nicely. But that's not why he came to the kingdom, to get, be comfortable and like that. But he actually came because he had a good relationship with his older brother, Dhritarashtra. Actually, Dhritarashtra was very affectionate towards him also. He always favored Vidura. When he was younger, he, got him married and gave him some property and took good care of him like that. And then Vidura also was very much attached to Maharaj Dhritarashtra, and he was always trying to give him good counsel. But, he would never listen because he was too attached. And so now he came back, and just to enlighten his older brother, he came home, and he wanted to give him some counsel, good counsel. He's like, telling him, what are you doing? He calls him a king, my dear king. He's not the king. He's just living in the household of Maharaj Yudhisthira and his brothers. And they're treating him so nicely, which is proper for Yudhisthira to treat him like king and give him all royal opulence because he's, a descendant like that. So I hope you can still hear me. I think so. Anyway, he said to your brother, what are you doing here? You're living here, at the expense of your enemies practically. Your body is like an old rag. It's about ready to fall apart. And here you're living at, at the hand of Bhima, like that. So he gave him such harsh words, so that he could wake up. And actually Dhritarashtra surrendered. And he said, what do you want me to do? My brother said, immediately come with me. So he said, go somewhere and, it's better. So he took him and they left. And he underwent tapasya, and then he got salvation. So this is a great fortune of Dhritarashtra to have the association of such a saintly person like that. So he became very Dhira. And Prabhupada says this whole Krishna consciousness movement is how to become Dhira, selfless. He defines it in different ways, selfless. And then he says this life is successful. And Prabhupada told us that therefore, in order to become advanced, or Dhira, another definition of Dhira, selfless, advanced, very sober, we require the guidance of a genuine guru. And here's how he's telling us when he came to your country is cheated by so many rascal yogis. And how could they even help you? Someone in the clutches of Maya, they can't be an authoritative instructor. So we're seeing what it is to be an authority, great authority, a Mahajan who's coming in the form of Vidura to give counsel to his brother, to give counsel to us. So this is very important, explaining to him the proper way to take advantage of this human form of life. Everybody's trying to become fit for survival here, it's described. We all heard that term. We want to become fit for survival. And this is the struggle for existence. Everybody's trying to become fit. And it says the survival of the fittest. But Prabhupada explains how the poor souls in this material world, they don't know what is survival and who is fit. Survival means that you will not die, right? So if you're surviving, that means you should not die. But you should enjoy an everlastingly blissful life full of knowledge. And this is survival. And then Prabhupada explains how this Krishna consciousness movement is meant to make every person fit for survival. Indeed, it is meant to stop the struggle for existence. The Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita give definite directions on how to stop the struggle for existence and how to survive in eternal life. The Sankirtan movement, therefore, is a great opportunity. Simply by hearing Bhagavad Gita and chanting the Hare Krishna Ma Mantra, one becomes completely purified. Thus, the struggle for existence ceases and one goes back to Godhead. Just see how Dhritarashtra was so attached. He was struggling to just maintain his comfort and his, he wasn't even shameless about staying there, even though, you know, there were his enemies and he tried to kill them in so many different ways. But yet he just accepted that because he didn't know anything else to do. He thought that's what he should be doing. He was so attached. But here Vidura is given him this knowledge about your main business of life. If you really want to survive, then you should actually, you know, become a devotee here in chant. Shravanam Kirti Vishnu. That's the main business. That's pure devotion. And Prabhupada has brought us this culture, this Krishna culture, as mentioned in the verse, purport Prabhupada says. And he says, because we can't devote 24 hours in hearing and chanting, therefore we extended our activities, program activities in so many ways. So this is the mercy of Prabhupada. He's given us so many opportunities to engage in devotional service. He's given us deity worship, temples, food distribution, so many different things like that. Could I have a glass of water, please? And otherwise, if you practice in any condition, Prabhupada says, it's so nice that simply by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll be happy, no matter what condition you're in. In fact, I just got a call. Thank you. I just got a call yesterday from a friend of mine. He had to move to Canada and he had a job up there. And he was calling us, asking him how he's doing. And he said, oh, he doesn't like it at all. He misses the association of the devotees. But what happened is he said, I am actually really happy. I'm starting to read Srimad Bhagavatam. I didn't know it was such a great book. He's like just absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam. He just was in nectar. He was already like in the eighth canto reading and just absorbing and just he had some really nice questions. So it doesn't matter what condition you're in, where you are, what you're doing. You know, if you just simply read Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll be happy. And then your spiritual life will be perfect more and more. So that's the duty of the enlightened souls to deliver the fallen souls. And Vidura came for that reason. And he gave these spiritual enlightening talks. They were so refreshing, you know, to everybody there. He wasn't just instructing Dhritarashtra. He attracted the attention of all the members of the family, and all of them took pleasure in hearing him patiently. And that's the way of spiritual realization, to hear attentively, spoken by self-realized souls. And then what happens, it acts on the dormant heart of the conditioned soul. And then by continuously hearing in this way, we attain the perfect stage of self-realization. So that's what Prabhupada said. In our centers, this process should be followed. We've got so many books. We just simply read these books. He said that in a lecture in, I think, 1974. He said, we have so much stock. And although I don't think all the books were translated by then, but he said, we have so much stock now. Simply read these books. It would take you 50 years. You could be, you know, absorbed 50 years. There's so much. We have so much nectar. So we just do a little service to Krishna, and Krishna becomes very grateful. Just serve Krishna sincerely, and Krishna will never forget us. He is so powerful that if Krishna becomes your friend and remembers you, then what more is there to attain? Just imagine. So this is what's called Krishna Devata. We have to fix our mind on Krishna. We do that by focusing on reading these books and devotional service. Then we'll be completely happy. So for that eternal position, you know, to actually become fit for survival, then we have to make Krishna Devata. Krishna is the worshipful deity. Krishna is eternal, and if we fix up our service on Krishna, then Krishna will accept us as a servant, and then naturally you become eternal. So just simply serving Krishna, and then the concomitant factor that happens automatically is that you are eternal. Prabhupada used an analogy or a nice story. I think it was Suvitri. She was a very chaste woman who she had some love for this boy. And she knew that he was destined to die after their wedding day. But she married him anyway. But she pleased Yamaraj so nicely that by her, you know, devotion and everything, that he said, okay, what would you like? And she said, I am a woman and I would like to, I know I want to have a nice, I want to have a son. He says, okay, you can have a son. So then she said, well, in order to have a son, I have to have my husband. So just automatically, she got her husband in the same way. So in the same way, we get Krishna. We become eternal just by serving Krishna like that. So this is the real danger that we have here, is this bodily conception of life, which we're seeing through the example of Dhritarashtra. And we see through many examples. Right now we're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sixth canto, about King Chitraketu. And he was really attached, you know, lamenting for his son who was killed by his enemy wives who were jealous. And he was so, you know, lamenting and so covered over that, you know, he's practically dead, you know, laying next to his dead body, just, you know, crying and lamenting in such a way. And then the sage Narada comes, and he and Angira, they come and enlighten him. And they tell him, they enlighten him, what's your lament for? You're not the body. The same kind of teachings all throughout the Bhagavatam in so many different ways are reading about how Narada Muni and great saintly persons come and they preach to all these great kings and personalities that are become somehow or another absorbed and attracted by this glaring, attractive feature of the material world. And they enlighten them. And Narada Muni and Angira tell King Chitraketu, everything here is all the same. Everything, all your kings, you know, all your opulences, you know, your treasury, your wives, you know, everything that you have, it's all the same in that it's all temporary. So that's what's here, is just everything here is temporary. But we have to try to get the eternal life. And that's what we have to come, this body concept of life. It's the same activities that we do. It's called karma. But on the platform of the spiritual life, that karma becomes bhakti. So same karma will be bhakti. So bhakti is not inactivity. We have to actually be active. So we do things, we act for Krishna. So otherwise, the laws of nature are so fine. It's like the story of Vidura. You know, just one little mistake, and he was punished like that. And he cursed in so many things. So we have to be very careful. Prabhupada says, you just walk on the street and you kill an ant, then you'll be punished. That's nature's law. So we're in such a dangerous position. Every moment there's punishment. And also, if we don't keep ourselves in the mode of goodness, you know, then also we're contaminated, we're infected by the disease of the material modes of material nature, passion and ignorance. And then we also suffer that way. So after many, many births and deaths, one achieves the rare human form of life, which although temporary, affords one the opportunity to attain the highest perfection. Thus a sober human being should quickly endeavor for the ultimate perfection of life as long as his body, which is always subject to death, has not fallen down and died. After all, sense gratification is available even to the most abominable species of life, whereas Krishna consciousness is possible only for a human being. So this is a famous verse from the fifth canto. You know, Lord Vishabhadeva speaking to his sons, how, you know, we should actually realize how rare this form of life is that we have, the human form of life, and take advantage, you know, understand the whole purpose. Yes, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi.
This is ISKCON?
Yeah, this is the class, Srimad Bhagavatam class going on.
I'm sorry, Prabhu, I had to hang up on it. Okay. We'll have to catch whoever that is later. Sorry.
Okay, no problem. So, yeah, I'm glad that you guys could still hear me. All right, so
but this everything is for you. It's just that we're all trying to be quiet.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you. So we're talking about, Prabhupada mentions renunciation a little bit in this particular purport. And Prabhupada says we don't say jagat mitya so much. That, you know, as long as we have got this jagat, let's utilize it for Krishna. This is real renunciation. Just like he always uses the microphone. You know, we can't say the microphone is mitya. So long as the microphone's in our possession, we should use it for Krishna. That's real renunciation. And then as we know that Dhritarashtra was going to the forest or the, you know, Himalayas, whatever. And Prabhupada explains that for us, going to the Himalayas doesn't mean going to the forest. It doesn't mean that we actually go there. But one should give up the family affection and dedicate the whole life for Krishna's service. This is really going to the forest. And Prabhupada explains how it's not that we don't have any feelings for these things, families and things like that, but it's that we're not attached. The only attachment is that we are together serving Krishna in a way that we elevate each other back to our original nature. So, you know, everybody wants to enjoy material life. And it Prabhupada says anyone who wants to enjoy material life, it's not possible to become fully Krishna conscious. He said that is a very secret. So that's what Lord Chaitanya says, that we have to, it's for everything belongs to Krishna. I'm simply his servant, that's all. That's called a kinchana. So whether we have a wife, family, friends, opulence, comfortable home, all these things, we know it doesn't belong to me. Everything belongs to Krishna, and I'm his servant. And Prabhupada said, as a nice lecture, he said, actually, your qualification is, I've told you in the beginning, is that you have, you know, to his American students, that you've got a renouncing spirit. This is a great qualification, tyaga, renunciation. You know, how it's one of the opulences of Krishna. He has six opulences, and one of his opulences is renunciation. So he says, you have enough of this material enjoyment, you have enjoyed, you've seen that there's no actual profit, therefore you're in the spirit, and that's natural. And that's the next stage, after one enjoys so much, and it's natural. But he said, because you have got renunciation spirit, you're understanding or taking to Krishna consciousness very nicely. So Prabhupada said, therefore sometimes I like these hippies because they have got a spirit of renunciation. That's a very good position. Simply, they require jnana or knowledge. Then their life will be successful. So this is what's important, you know. We may have a renouncing spirit like this, but if you don't have knowledge of what real renunciation is, you know, from the great saintly persons in this, you know, come here, then you will not go to the real platform of renunciation like that. So it'd be very difficult for you to even maintain it. And Prabhupada also mentions that we don't criticize because you live in a comfortable, you know, situation in the material world. You know, he said do that, but don't associate with the modes of ignorance. That's very risky. So at least either you remain in the householder life, brahmachari life, or sannyas life, just keep yourself always in goodness. Then your position's all right. Otherwise, it's very risky. Risky civilization, Prabhupada calls it. So Prabhupada mentioned a really nice point. He said the transcendental sense of service. So Prabhupada wanted us to engage in devotional service and become first-class devotees. All of us, he said, become first-class devotee, become pure devotee. And in this age, it's made very easy. We can attain this transcendental sense of service and become pure devotees very easily. How? Just simply keep yourself cleansed. Don't indulge in the four principles, prohibitions, and chant Hare Krishna. Then you will all be first-class devotees. And wherever you go, you'll be able to purify there. Wherever you go, wherever you speak, wherever you sit, you'll actually purify that place. That's tirtha. It becomes a tirtha. So that's what this Hare Krishna mantra means. You're always keeping Krishna within your heart. It's not expensive. You know, you just know many things. Prabhupada said it's so easy, actually. You know, you don't have to get, like, you don't have to have a lot of money and make a huge temple for Krishna, make an elaborate worship. He said, you can just imagine that in my heart, I have placed a very nice diamond throne and Krishna's sitting on it and he's accepting it. He said, actually, this is real worship. Krishna's actually accepting it. And even in the mind, you can think, I have kept a diamond throne. It's very costly. Krishna's coming. He's going to sit here. And then you create a situation with your heart where you let me wash Krishna's feet with Ganges water, Jamuna water, all the holy rivers. Now I can dress Krishna very nicely, very costly garments. Then I'll decorate him with ornaments, give him nice food stuff. So simply thinking like this, this is real meditation. So anywhere, you could just think of Krishna in your heart and you're receiving him in such a nice way. That's not false. Hope so, yeah. Somebody try to call me. Let's see, I think Shama messed me up. Are you there? Hari Bol.
Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, good. Someone tried to interrupt me. All right, so yeah, this is amazing how you can meditate Krishna within your heart. There's that story in the Nectar Devotion where this Brahmin was meditating like this. And he was offering sweet rice to Krishna, and he wanted to make sure it was cold. And he touched it, and he actually burned his finger. And then after that, Krishna came and took him home. So this is how so simple in this age to become so pure and to maintain this purity. And wherever you go, you could be like Vidura. Actually, that's what the Yudhisthira says. You don't have to travel to holy places. Wherever you are, that's a tirtha. You are a holy place. You're coming here. And you are the personification of the holy place. Like there's the Bhagavata, and then there's the, you know, the Bhagavatas. They travel all over the world and just to purify. Because there's Bhagavan, and then Bhagavata means one who's in connection with Krishna. And there's two types of Bhagavatas, the book and the person. So wherever that Bhagavata is, he will purify that whole place of where he's at. Can you imagine that? Wherever you go, devotees, they're so pure that they just go in a particular place and it becomes pure, becomes a holy place of tirtha. So this is the power that we have. I'm giving a class, Shama. Get ready. We're going to go. I'll take you. Okay? All right. Sorry. Yeah. So, this is what happens. The Bhagavatas, they travel all over the world just to purify ordinary people because they're these people are actually poor. It's described as Dina Chetasa. They're very poor thinking. They think, oh, this is my duty. I have to live here comfortably. I have to give facilities for my family and society and nation. I have to earn our livelihood, you know, and spend for sense gratification. This is their philosophy. But that's not real philosophy. They're actually poor, poor-minded, cripple-minded, like that. So these are the devotees. They can't forget Krishna for a second. They're carrying Krishna, and because Krishna is with the devotee, wherever he goes, that becomes a place of pilgrimage. And that's what Yudhisthira said. My dear uncle, you're so exalted devotee, you don't require even to travel in the holy place of pilgrimage, because wherever you stay, that will turn into pilgrimage. Even Narottama Das Thakur, he sings, Tirtha Yatra Parishrama Kevala Manera Brahma. He says, to go to the holy place of pilgrimage, it is also a mental satisfaction. Actually, if one has fully surrendered to the lotus feet of Krishna, he is so exalted that wherever he lives, that is a holy place of pilgrimage. So this is the devotees, the Bhagavatas, Tirtha Bhuta. So So these devotees, they themselves are Mahabhagavata. They're first-class devotees. And they themselves are the holy places. And wherever they go, that place becomes a holy place of pilgrimage. So again and again, we're seeing how easy it is to become a devotee, a first-class devotee, a pure devotee, and be able to purify the consciousness, you know, of ourselves and you know, everyone else that we come in contact with. So simply by hearing about the lotus feet of Krishna with eagerness and devotion, and by meditating on them within the heart, at once we become enlightened with knowledge, and on the strength of detachment one becomes pacified. We must therefore take shelter of the sanctuary of the lotus feet of Krishna. That's from the third canto. That was a nice quote there. So this is our position, and we're very grateful to Srila Prabhupada, who has, like Vidura, has traveled all over the world, you know, just to give us his association, created so many holy tirthas. You know, we have New Dwarka. There's, what do they call that in Hawaii? I forget what they call it, the name of the tirtha there, but.
Navadweep.
What is it?
New
Navadweep. New Navadweep. Yeah. So, all over the world, Srila Prabhupada has created these places, and devotees are moving all over the world. You know, devotees are maintaining, you know, their purity wherever they're working or whatever they're doing. They're creating that as a holy tirtha. Prabhupada says, even no matter where you are, if you just simply sit down and read Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, no matter what condition, you could be happy, blissful, and that's a holy tirtha. You know, Prabhupada explains how in his life he could have been, you know, on his way to become a big business magnate. But he met also a great saintly person, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, very timely. And look how his whole life was changed like that. Even though he's always a pure devotee, but, you know, he shows example how we get direction from pure devotees and how they enlighten us. So this is what Prabhupada gave us, as he mentioned in this purport. He gave us these cultural activities, deity worship, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, you know, so that we can maintain, become pure devotees, become holy tirthas, Bhagavatas. You know, he gave us the association of these saintly persons. He showed us what is real, comfortable, renounced life. But, you know, real renunciation means to use everything for Krishna. It's not that we say you have to be poor, we criticize because people have comfortable homes. But no, are they using that for Krishna? That's real renunciation. Do they have nice programs in their homes? You know, and then he gave us this transcendental messages in the form of all his books he's translated. He says that we have over, you know, enough stock for 50 years. And that was before he even finished translating all the books. So this is the transcendental sense of service Prabhupada has given us in the association of our real family. He's created a real family of ISKCON. And wherever you go, there's devotees, ISKCON. And you could go all over the world, and they're all from different nationalities, different cultures, you know, different, you know, types of bodies, different types of income. And they're all completely peaceful because they don't identify with these things. You know, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Hindu, I'm rich, I'm poor, I'm black, I'm white. They're all just serving Krishna. They're engaged in this transcendental sense of service. And they're all becoming pure. Very simple. So this is what Srila Prabhupada has given us, this ISKCON, which is so, such a great blessing. We're so grateful to have it. And we'll read the verse again. He is called undisturbed, who goes to an unknown remote place and freed from all obligations, quits his material body when it has become useless. So we all know that this material body is going to, you know, it's a bad bargain, but we've been given the proper method on how to become fit, how to survive, become fit for going back, you know, to the spiritual world. Jai. So I'd like to end there. Maybe anyone else would have some comments or realizations they'd like to share?
Okay, I have unmuted everybody on free conferencing. And if anybody has any questions or comments they would like to add at this time, please go ahead.
Godaji, I want to welcome you back. It's great to have you, as I said earlier, in our association. Wonderful
Thank
to hear you.
You
speak. I was thinking it was really heavy in my mind through your whole class, especially towards the beginning. You were talking about Vidura and how compassionate Vidura was,
mm-hmm.
that he left a very spiritually comfortable position, simply traveling, and he came back home to give his mercy and to enlighten his elder brother.
Yes.
And at the end of his life, his body was failing. And I was thinking, I hope you're preaching yourself, and Ramanandaji puts these recordings up on our website. You can go back and listen. You should listen, because you also have an elder brother who is very... It's very, you know, that kept running through my mind. For those of you who don't know, Godachandra has a very nice brother, Joe, who I'm very fond of. And Joe needs a little help spiritually. He's very favorably disposed towards the devotees. He used to come back when I was the president. He used to come by the temple regularly to every Sunday feast. He would chant. He would read. And I see him often. He drives for Down to Earth, Siddha's group has the Down to Earth health food stores here. So they're also devotees. And there's one gentleman who was in charge of the produce at Down to Earth. And go to your brother, Joe, had him all trained up that every time he would come in, he would say, Hari Bol.
Oh, yeah.
he had him on the Hari Bol program. No, he's so favorably disposed. And now that Joe's, I had a conversation with Joe just the other day. He was talking about, you know, how he's becoming, you know, getting older now. So I'm hoping that we're going to get your association here in Hawaii, because it's really time for you also to come back and speak with your brother, just as Vidura came and to enlighten Dhritarashtra, that you do have that responsibility. And he has great respect for you, just as Dhritarashtra had great respect for Vidura. Your brother respects you very much and is very proud of what you're doing. So I hope you'll sort of embrace what you're speaking about and come back and spend some time with your brother. You really do have that responsibility. And then also, we'll get your association again here in Hawaii. Anyway, it's great to have you back with us. Hari Bol.
Thank you, Narahari. You're like my older brother and giving me good instructions so that I could, you know, practice what I preach. And yes, that's we're actually planning, you know, to go there sometime. It'll be nice to get your association, get the association of the great sadhus and the Bhagavatas there. That would be our great blessing too. Yes, we'd love to do that. Thank you for reminding me that, and what a good point to bring it home to me. Appreciate that. You struck me in the heart.
We're all enlightening each other. That's what the sangha is all about.
Yeah. Jai, I appreciate that. Perfect. You're a good opportunist, an expert preacher. We appreciate you a lot. Jai. So anybody else have any comments, questions, realizations?
A question on, it says remote place. How would that relate to us now? What would be a remote place for us?
Yeah, like Prabhupada said, you know, for us to go to the forest, it means to renounce this attachment to material, you know, sense gratification, in the sense that, you know, we know that actually really know that it doesn't belong to me. It's actually Krishna's. Prabhupada said, this is what it means to go to the forest, is to really have this sense of renunciation that it's all for Krishna. It's Krishna's and I use it for him. And that's very, Prabhupada is so that's how he makes it so easy for us to realize that in this age, to see, you know, how we can practically and simply apply this philosophy and become pure. It's so easy. It's amazing. You know? And it seems like it takes a while for us to even see it as that simple. You know, we always think, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, it's so complicated. And in our minds, we make it so complicated. But it's actually very simple. So, yeah, hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you. Simple for the simple, Prabhupada would say.
Mm. Yeah, and it's complicated for the wicked, or what do you say? Simple for the simple and difficult for the wicked? Is that what the term you used? I can't remember.
I think it was crooked, maybe.
Oh, yeah, for the crooked, maybe, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's funny how Srila
I would make a comment on Madan's question. Is that I think that what would signify or be a manifestation of a distant place, you know, what is that? Just sort of what comes to my mind is that it's really different for everyone. I don't think we can say, oh, it means to go to the forest, or oh, it means to go on to one of the holy places like Vrindavan or Mayapur, or it could mean to just, you know, within your heart, just take more shelter of Krishna. I think for everyone, we have to examine our own hearts and perhaps in consultation with other devotees who understand us, and the sharing, guyang agyati prichchati, speaking intimately with devotees, we can help to determine for each of us what that means to help us find the distant place. I think for all of us, it's going to have a different answer.
Yeah, that's Prabhupada's genius, how he defined that, you know, what it means. Is that whether you're in a comfortable position, you're sannyasi, grahastha, whatever, you should be that renounced spirit, you know, go to the forest in a sense. Yeah, amazing.
On several conversations I've heard, Srila Prabhupada would mention, especially to Indians that he would be preaching to, that you should retire and go to our Vrindavan, Mayapur, really encourage them. Says you can live there free of charge.
Yeah.
You just go and be absorbed for the rest of your life in hearing and chanting.
ISKCON. Yeah, take shelter of your real family. Wow, that's so cool. Jai, so I'm so grateful to be in your association and opportunity to speak and to hear you all speak. So nice.
Well, thank you, Goda Chandra.
Yeah, I'm very honored.
We really, really appreciate your association.
Thank you. I appreciate your kindness towards me.
Goda Chandra told me that you can do every, maybe like twice a month.
Yeah, because I give class here like twice a month, so, you know, that way I could break it up a little bit.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you so much.
Jai. Jai Prabhus, I really appreciate your association. I have to take my son somewhere, so we got to get going.
Jai, thank you.
All right.
Much.
Okay. Thank you.
Jai.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you